Welcome to Healthcare Rounds, the podcast serving you the ins and outs of health policy and business topics, as well as our take on the rapidly evolving healthcare delivery ecosystem. I'm your host, John Marchica, CEO of Darwin Research Group and faculty associate at the W.P. Carey School of Business and the College of Health Solutions at Arizona State University. Last Wednesday, CMS and the Department of Health and Human Services proposed reforms to the Physician Self-Referral Law, also known as the Stark Law, and federal anti-kickback laws. Their goal is to modernize laws that were put into place when the U.S. healthcare system functioned primarily within a fee-for-service or volume-based payment and delivery structure. Now, though, as the healthcare system shifts toward value-based care, these complex laws often hamstring providers in their efforts to coordinate care, improve patient outcomes, and reduce waste. In a press statement, HHS said the proposed rules would ease the compliance burden for healthcare providers across the industry, while maintaining strong safeguards to protect patients and programs from fraud and abuse. CMS's proposed rule would create new permanent exceptions to the Stark Law that would allow physicians and other healthcare providers, quote, to design and enter into value-based arrangements without fear that legitimate activities to coordinate and improve the quality of care for patients and lower costs would violate the Stark Law, end quote, the agency said, adding that the exceptions, quote, would apply regardless of whether the arrangement relates to care furnished to people with Medicare or other patients. HHS's proposed rule would add safe harbor protections under the federal anti-kickback statute, quote, for certain coordinated care and associated value-based arrangements between or among clinicians, providers, suppliers, and others that squarely meet all safe harbor conditions, end quote. Of particular note, it would add a safe harbor for donations of cybersecurity technology and amend existing safe harbors pertaining to electronic health records. Here's our take. On the surface, the changes do appear to address many perennial complaints providers and other stakeholders have with Stark and the anti-kickback laws. So far, industry reception to the proposed rules has generally been positive. And we agree that, for instance, making it easier for hospitals and independent physician groups to share information with less risk of having their computer systems hacked and without the fear of incurring a stiff criminal penalty would be tremendously beneficial to patients and providers. But whenever regulations are loosened, unscrupulous parties will also find opportunities to benefit. Having greater flexibility is not only helpful to those who are well-intentioned, it's also helpful to those that HHS referred to as bad actors. As Aledade's CEO, Dr. Farzad Mosashari, noted, quote, it's important that these rules safeguard against misuse by clinically integrated networks and provider groups who seek to control referral patterns and ultimately increase costs, end quote. Something that raised a flag for us in CMS's proposed rule is a requirement that healthcare entities provide the government with a written document delineating their value-based arrangements, including the targeted patient population and the outcomes they'll measure. Those outcomes are to be monitored to ensure that the arrangements don't violate the Stark Law. The entities themselves will be responsible for monitoring the compliance of their value-based arrangement. Pause and think about that. CMS said it is seeking comments about this requirement, and we anticipate that plenty of comments will be made. In contrast with most industry responses to the proposed rules, the Medical Group Management Association expressed disappointment. They said, quote, from a statement on their website, quote, for those fortunate medical groups that can utilize the new value-based exceptions, this proposal is a step in the right direction. For medical groups that have been waiting for years for relief from the complexity of the Stark Law, this isn't it. The organization added that the new proposal, quote, confirms MGMA's longstanding position that Congress needs to change the law, end quote. Clearly, changes in the Stark Law need to be made, and we'd like to think that the proposed rules are indeed a step in the right direction, even if only for a segment of the industry. But those strong safeguards that HHS referred to must be firmly lodged before any loosening of the restrictions takes place. Here's what else you need to know. Drug makers will no longer be able to make pay-for-delay deals in California. Governor Gavin Newsom signed a bill last Tuesday banning the practice, in which manufacturers of branded drugs that are facing patent expiry pay other drug makers to hold off on introducing lower-cost generic competitors into the market. The new law will take effect on January 1, 2020, making it illegal for drug companies to settle patent infringement claims by providing anything of value to the generic manufacturers who file the lawsuit. California is the first state to take this step. Unsupported price increases for seven drugs led to a $5.11 billion increase in U.S. spending, according to a new report by the Institute for Clinical and Economic Review, and SSR Health. The report's authors stated there was no new clinical evidence to justify the price increases, which spanned 2017 and 2018. With the net price increase of 15.9%, AbbVie's rheumatoid arthritis treatment Humira accounted for $1.86 billion of the total increase in U.S. spending. The other drugs, in descending order, were Genentech's cancer drug Rituxan, Pfizer's painkiller Lyrica, Gilead Sciences' HIV prevention drug Truvada, Amgen's white blood cell booster Neulasta, Eli Lilly's erectile dysfunction drug Cialis, and Biogen's multiple sclerosis therapy Tecfidera. Meanwhile, drug superspenders increased by 63% from 2016 through 2018, a report by pharmacy benefit manager Prime Therapeutics indicates. A superspender was defined as a patient with drug costs exceeding $250,000 per year. In 2018, there were 4,869 superspenders, up from 2,994 in 2016, and their costs accounted for $2.1 billion in health plan drug costs, or 8.6% of total drug spend. The analysis included more than 17 million commercially insured patients. A jury clobbered J&J subsidiary Janssen Pharmaceuticals with an $8 billion verdict. The plaintiff in the trial claimed that Risperdal, an antipsychotic used to treat schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, and other disorders, caused him to develop enlarged breasts. He started taking Risperdal at the age of 9 to treat symptoms of autism. The lawsuit contended that Janssen failed to adequately warn physicians about the risk of gynecomastia, even though the drug was marketed as a treatment for children. A jury had awarded the plaintiff $1.75 million in compensatory damages in 2015, an amount that was later reduced to $680,000. The more recent award is for punitive damages. J&J said it intends to appeal the verdict. Approximately 13,400 people are suing the company for Risperdal-related damages. About 25% of annual healthcare spending in the U.S. is wasted, a new study conducted by Humana and the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine suggests. The study involved literature reviews with a focus on six areas of waste: failure of care delivery, failure of care coordination, overtreatment or low-value care, pricing failure, fraud and abuse, and administrative complexity. The findings revealed estimated total annual costs of waste ranging from $760 billion to $935 billion. The administrative complexity category, which includes billing and coding, as well as time physicians spend on reporting quality measures, was responsible for the largest share of that total. The study was published online October 7th by JAMA. Michigan wants to eliminate third-party pharmacy benefit managers, or PBMs, from its Medicaid program. In a bulletin sent to providers, the state proposed a Medicaid outpatient pharmacy carve-out plan that would shift control of outpatient pharmacy benefits from Medicaid managed care health plans, which use PBMs such as CVS Health and OptumRx, to fee-for-service Medicaid starting December 1st. The state believes that by taking over management of the Medicaid program's drug benefits, it can negotiate larger rebates and reduce administrative costs, resulting in an estimated savings of $40 million. Waltham, Mass.-based Devoted Health, a Medicare Advantage startup, said it is the first Medicare Advantage plan to collaborate with Apple to offer the Apple Watch as a benefit to its members, according to a report by CNBC. Devoted Health will offer a $150 annual subsidy as part of a fitness benefit that members can use for classes, programs, and wearable devices such as an Apple Watch, which costs $199 for a Series 3 and considerably more for later versions. OSF Healthcare and Little Company of Mary Hospital and Healthcare Centers signed a definitive agreement to merge their organizations into a 14-hospital system. Peoria, Illinois-based OSF Healthcare said in a statement, the merger is expected to close by February 1, 2020, pending regulatory and canonical approvals. Little Company of Mary, which serves the Southwest Chicago area, will be renamed OSF Healthcare Little Company of Mary Medical Center. That's all for this week. From all of us at Darwin Research Group, thanks for listening. If you haven't yet done so, please rate and review Healthcare Rounds wherever you listen to podcasts. Healthcare Rounds is produced by Diana Nikolic and engineered by Andrew Rojek. Theme music by John Marchico. Darwin Research Group provides advanced market intelligence and in-depth customer insights to healthcare executives. Our strategic focus is on healthcare delivery systems and the global shift toward value-based care. To learn more about us, go to darwinresearch.com or send an email to insights@darwinresearch.com. Or if you'd like to get right to it, call us at 888-402-3465. See you next round.